Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got a great interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Chuck Roll. And lastly, some great bluegill and crappie tips from Minnesota pro angler Earl Brosdahl. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
The Can-Am Holiday Blitz is on at Hayward Power Sports, and it's a perfect time to take advantage of incredible savings on remaining 2017 models. Take home a 2017 Can-Am Defender HD5 side-by-side with dynamic power steering for under 10 grand. Yes, just $99.99. You can get rebates up to $1,500 or choose a two-year warranty and a $1,000 rebate on all remaining 2017 Defender side-by-sides. The new 2018s are here with the rugged Outlander ATVs as well as the Maverick X3 and Defender side-by-sides. And yes, even the new 2018s offer great deals with up to a two-year warranty or up to a $500 rebate on select models. Can-Am off-road vehicles are built to satisfy. This is Johnny inviting you to take advantage of the holiday blitz today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77, or visit us online at haywardpowersports.com.
ATVs can be hazardous to operate. Can-Am ATV riders must be at least 16 years of age and have taken a training course. Avoid operating side-by-sides on paved or public roads. Always wear a helmet and see dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Art, we've got Eric Tuohy in here, Hayward Area Fishing Guide, who works at the shop. And, you know, as we're recording this, it looks like we're finally going to get some cold weather coming in.
I think it's going to be real cold when this airs, but I got to say this. Finally, we got the shortest day in the year out of the way.
Wow. You know, Eric, I know there's still been a few guys going out, even though ice conditions, everything we've been hearing for the last few weeks has been kind of pretty iffy. Been guys have been getting out there.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Definitely things are spotty out there. We are suggesting just foot traffic only for the most part. You know, but guys are able to find anywhere from as little as 3 inches and maybe even as much as 4 to 6. So, but it can vary lake to lake or could vary on that lake itself. So take caution and safety.
That's just what I was going to say. I've heard that where guys have been walking and they've been had, you know, 5 or 6 inches and all of a sudden they got 2 inches. And the other thing I want to say is I see a lot of guys counting the overall thickness of that ice. And I went out and cut some holes and some, and a lot of it, over half of that is white, crusty, flaky stuff that's not really good ice to start with.
Yeah, maybe not something you want to be counting as or counting on, you know, for anything heavier on traffic wise. But, you know, it's just, it's every year is a little bit different, and we still just have to use our safety and keeping that in mind and enjoying the outdoors. So
most of the guys that you've been going out to talk to, they've been going out, they're going mostly staying to shallow water, I suspect, and mostly going after what, pike on tip-ups and maybe what?
Yeah, you know, it all depends on what your accessibility is to that body of water, but for the most part, yeah, absolutely. We've been having some really great panfish fishing, anything from perch to crappie and bluegill, and of course, a lot of times in that same area, you know, you're able to set up some tip-ups and find some luck with pike.
Thing that's happening, a friend of mine was down on Couderay on Moccasin Bar. He started at 6 feet, went down to 22 feet, never caught anything. So it isn't necessarily that they are there, but they may wander through.
Well, yeah, you know, and that changes too, and the individual lakes are going to be different too.
Absolutely, yeah, and there's certain types of structure that might, you know, especially whether it's walleye or even crappie for that fact, I mean, that might hold true to holding fish more consecutively throughout the day, but then there are those times where well, I like to call them the witching hours, whether it's early morning or your evening hours where it is game on and you want to be on that spot and ready for those fish.
That's just what I want to think I was going to bring up is that magic day, you know, early and late in the day thing. Not as important, I don't think, with pike. Pike seem to be pretty aggressive all day long, but if you're after walleyes or crappies, those hours are the golden hours to be out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those key highlighted times, you know, if you're going out in the morning, be sure that you know where you're going in the morning and know exactly what the ice thickness is and, you know, get your flag set up, get, you know, set up situated where, you know, you're able to find some success that morning.
When I was really active ice fishing, 4 o'clock I'd get out there, get everything ready. At about 5 o'clock, dark, it starts. They start coming. The walleyes come in and the crappies come in.
Yep.
And if you can be in the same place every time, quite often, because if you have the right place, if you have some green weeds left and there's bait fish down there, then you're going to have these fish are going to be there.
Usually, what I try to plan on is I look for the bluegills for the most part in the northern pike during those other hours other than those golden hours in the evening. And usually those fish are pretty active during daylight hours, but then you get toward evening, then we switch gears.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great way to look at it. And we actually, a lot of us, we run our trips, you know, where we might do more midday panfish and pike. And then we try to, you know, relocate, whether it's the same lake or a different body of water, and set up for walleyes for that witching hour.
Well, you know, even in the summertime, you know, talking to me, that I do a lot of them 5-hour trips, I call it. And I start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and fish till close to dark or 4 o'clock. And I seem to always get fish when I'm out there doing that.
I don't care when you do it, you'll be more successful then. There's just no two ways around it. That's the way it is.
You know, as far as the hunting out there, anybody still getting out doing late bow hunting, you hearing guys?
You know, bits and pieces. Some guys are coming in, you know, getting a few archery equipment or, you know, maybe need a little touch up on their bowstring or something. But, yeah, there are some guys still taking advantage of our late season hunting. You know, the weather, at least leading up to the holidays, have been, you know, quite mild, so it actually, you know, has been great. If guys are getting out, you know, pretty enjoyable to be out there.
You know, you can have a lot of fun out there, just even small game hunting in the winter.
That's true. I was thinking about the fact that we have a lot of snow right now, and we didn't a year ago. So last year we had a lot of birds that were still feeding on acorns. I don't know if they're getting at the acorns in our area.
Yeah, probably not now.
Well, I know if anybody's looking for getting out, you got a lot of stuff in here, just about everything from late season hunting to ice fishing, and a ton of ice fishing equipment in here now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of new exciting things to the ice fishing world that we are carrying here at the shop.
You know, as a guide, I suppose you're like me. You're just kind of waiting until after the first of the year to see what new comes out with equipment that we could use to maximize our efficiency out there on the water.
Absolutely, John. Absolutely.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on here. And, you know, we're going to have a good interview with fishing guide Chuck Roll on here next, believe it or not. So, you know, we're going to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors, and we'll be back right after those messages.
Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzleloaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports has the latest in Ski-Doo snowmobiles, all ready to ride. Every Ski-Doo sled is packed with fun performance and loaded with industry-leading E-Tech and ACE engine technology. Save up to $2,000 with 0% financing for 36 months on select 2017 models during the Ski-Doo Winter Celebration through January 5th. Visit Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Ski-Doo, what matters is what's next.
Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on credit worthiness. See Hayward Power Sports for complete program details.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, one of the guys we don't have on here very often is one of the younger guides here in Hayward, Chuck Roll, who grew up here, a very good guide.
He's a good guide, and he's also a good guy. I've enjoyed fishing with him and doing some things together, and I really like the man, and I like the way he fishes.
You know, he fishes for everything, kind of like what I do, but he's also kind of focusing on those family groups and mm-hmm. the smaller fish. That seems to be where most of the people want to go out. It's not as many of the guys going after muskies as far as the guide trips now, I don't think.
Oh, you know that for a fact. I mean, you look at the number of guide jobs he had this last year for muskies versus other fish, and I guarantee you, I bet it's going to be 10 to 1.
Well, it's way big different, and it used to be the other way around, yep. but years ago, I can remember we were one of the only places to go after muskies, and now they got them in almost every, heck, they even got musky lakes in New Mexico, believe it or not, so there's lots of things. But anyway, talking about local fishing here and some ice fishing tip-ups and stuff, let's hear what Chuck Roll had to say about that.
We're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Chuck Roll. And Chuck, you know, it's been crazy this year as far as ice conditions, but once we get past the new year, we almost always got pretty decent ice out there, and that's when a lot of us really start to ice fish. One of the first things we go out, you know, a lot of guys will set tip-ups out, you know, and there's a little bit more to setting a tip-up than just drilling a hole out there. There's some tricks to setting them up, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, well, area and the right area is real key, of course, you know, and it being depths and weed lines and, well, any kind of structure that, you know, might hold the fish you're looking for.
You know, you want to be where you can kind of ambush them coming up. How about rigging the tip-ups, you know, just setting them up? I mean, it makes a difference on line, and you use, like, fluorocarbon leaders. What do you use?
No, I don't. If I'm walleye fishing, I'll use a monofilament. I've gone through the fluorocarbon deal, and I really don't see a difference between the ones I do and don't use. I mean, it just seems like walleyes, basically, you got to have some sort of clear line. But other than that, you know, a steel leader, I have had plenty of walleyes on, and on good days, it's a good bet to use steel leaders just because you can still catch some nice northerns that way. But most of the time, I'm fluorocarbon or monofilament if you have it. It works fine for me.
For the pike, you definitely use a small steel leader, or, you know, real fine one, or what?
Yeah, I try to, and yeah. Sometimes what I'll do is, on my tip-ups, is I'll just have a snap that I tie onto the main line, and so I can just snap onto a steel leader or switch over quick enough to a monofilament, you know. It's not too hard, but I do have some tip-ups that are real smooth. I like to keep those for my walleyes and northerns. If it's a little rougher, older tip-up, they don't seem to mind so much.
Well, that really is a good idea, putting a snap on there. That's one I'll have to try this year. Yeah. You know, setting the depth on them is a real important thing, too.
You bet. It's pretty much key, I think. You know, everybody kind of basically targets walleyes, and to be in that 6 inches to a foot off the bottom is pretty, you know, standard, and that's important. Now, northerns, I'm sort of, some days it seems right off the bottom is by far better. Other times, suspending it only like 4 feet under the ice and 10 to 20 foot of water works a lot better. And so it's kind of, I'll set some tip-ups up higher, closer to the ice when I'm fishing northerns. And then I'll also put some down and then start adjusting as I'm getting more tip-ups one way or another.
I know one thing up here for sure is I don't know how much you do of it. I try to do a little bit of if I can. I know Timmy Duffy's been doing more of it, and that's jig rod fishing for the walleyes, and that's something that just not a lot of guys do up here. It's mostly tip-ups.
No, that's a big thing out, Minnesota and farther out west. They all use jig rods. We don't use them much around here, but I have taken the same rods, let's say Lake of the Woods, that we caught just tons of walleyes on, and you can take those same really hot lures from up there, come around here, and I can't get a bite on them. And so I definitely will have my two tip-ups up if I am using jig rods.
I think a lot of it's the activity level of the fish, too. I mean, and the fish here are different. I mean, I think you have a higher population of walleyes in some places like Lake of the Woods where the fish are more competitive with each other, so I think here that they're a little more choosy of what they eat.
Well, yeah, and you know, John, there's two ways of looking at that, you know, for action. If you put out three tip-ups and the bite starts, and we all know that, like, on walleyes, there's that magic half hour of the day, or magic actually, if you realistically, about 5 to 10 minutes of magicness. And so now you're running around, and if you get a tip-up, now you reeled your rod up and you dropped that, now you're basically down to one line in the water. You know, because you had to pull up your rod. You don't want to lose that down the hole. So you go over there and you get your tip-up. Now you got, you know, two lines out. That's why I kind of just like to stick with tip-ups. At least you have another one sitting there ready to go up when the time comes.
Do you do much jigging for panfish while you're setting out tip-ups? I know that's one of the things I like to do is keep one rod free just for panfish if I can.
Yeah, it depends on how hardcore I'm going for the big game that day. If I'm just doing a scout or I do love it, you know, especially when you got a couple people out or whatever, and you can have two or three, four maybe tip ups and each person's using a jig rod for jigging. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, you bet. Productive.
Well, it's really fun for a lot of people, especially I notice a lot of people I guide, they really kind of get into watching that depth finder and seeing that crappie or that bluegill come up underneath there, and you can actually watch them come up and hit your bait, and it kind of gets, you know, people hyped up and get them going a little bit more than just sitting there waiting.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's kind of frustrating when you see them come up on your depth finder and turn away, you know, but at least you know they're there and you can switch up and do something different, maybe use a different bait or you know, just switch over to hold the hole a little bit and get them to bite.
Sometimes it's just a matter of how you wiggle it or don't wiggle it down there is whether they'll hit it or not, too. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, it's not always the jig, I find. I mean, jigs, I do have my favorite jigs, but it's more what you got on the end of the hook. If it's a waxy or if it's a piece of plastic or what kind of plastic it is, it seems to make a big deal.
Different. You bet. Well, Chuck, you know, I want to thank you for coming on here. And if somebody's looking for a guide trip, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, just my phone number. It's 715-699-2045. And I'm usually around that phone number all day long. So.
Yeah, you know, and I know that I guide out there some, and Duffy, there's about a half a dozen of us or so that, you know, if we need a group or something, we can kind of work together and try to figure something out for somebody to help them out a little bit.
You bet. Yep, bigger groups, and that's pretty fun when you get a bunch of guys around and do that. That's neat.
Well, thank you for coming on here.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Well, it was interesting in some of the tip-up tips he gave you and a couple ideas that I picked up on that I haven't been doing that make my life easier, too. So, anyway, we're going to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. As we come back, I've got another interview with one of the pro guides from Minnesota. I've had him on here before. You can talk about some panfish things. We'll take that break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Buddy propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and, of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
Cold weather is here, and that means that many take the opportunity to winterize their vehicles. Dr. Todd Ostrander and the staff at the Hayward Animal Hospital urge you to clean up spills of oil, antifreeze, and other chemicals left behind by your vehicle. These fluids have a sweet smell and flavor that animals love. Multiple organ failure can result from even the smallest amount of antifreeze. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. For an appointment, call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. Art, you know, I've had on here before, Brian Brosdahl, Bro Brosdahl, I call him, big guy over in Minnesota. He guides, he's one of the up-and-coming pros in the ice fishing world, you know, and he's a very good guide and a very good fisherman.
I like the fact that Bro always backs up what he says, and that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Well, I got an interview with him talking about panfish jig selection, what the differences are in jigs and some what he looks at, and also how do you work that jig in presentation. So let's hear that, and come back. We'll have some interesting things in the wrap-up on the show. Bro, you know, when it comes to jig fishing out there, whether if you're after panfish or walleye, so I know there's a lot of different style jigs out there. What determines what style of a jig and weight jig that you're going to use on a given day?
Well, you know, for a long period of time, we've always had lead jigs, and lead works just fine and a good paint job, and now there's tungsten. So what are the differences? A heavy lead jig still gets you down there quick. Tungsten's a lot heavier. But remember, they're made differently. Tungsten has a soldered hook, and when you solder the hook, some hooks become weak. So that's something to consider when you're fighting lots of fish or big fish. I like to pick jigs based on different shapes, and if you'll notice, some of them look like larvae, the ones I'm using, and some of them are just a round ball. There's a lot of different insect life underneath the water, different shapes that trigger fish, and you always see that happen. But sometimes I'll just use a regular round ball jig or a flat jig like a gill getter or a mini fireball, and then add plastic. So if you're adding plastics, you want your jig head to complement the plastic. So something that's going to make it swim forward, that's why I use a gill getter. A Bro bug head is just a little jig head, but it's got a fine wire hook to hold your plastics on straight. Plastics are a big deal nowadays, and we use them all the time. But now if I'm going to use tungsten, tungsten drops through slush really nice. Tungsten gets you down there, and picking tungsten, you can use smaller shapes. And smaller sizes and achieve the same results. So that's something to remember. So even if you're not using plastics, if you use live bait, try plastics at the same time. Compare the two. If you're on a lake and you got a few minutes, drop down a mini impulse mayfly or a smelt minnow or a tapeworm or all these different shapes. You'll wonder why we have the whole entomology collection here, but When you look at all the different shapes, sometimes they trigger them. I have on my seminars that I'm going to have in Wisconsin at all the different tackle shops, I have live strikes for bluegills. And you can watch how the bluegills react to stuff. But I have a school of perch that would not touch maggots, would not touch waxworms. And I drop down a plastic mayfly on a jig head, and they just inhale it. They race for it. So if it's the shape of what they really want to eat, it's like me. If I'm hungry for a perch fillet, I don't want spaghetti, you know. So you gotta treat the fish just like that. So try different shapes and sizes. Remember, eyes and small emerging insects and minnows, they have bulging eyes because they gotta see or they get eaten. And that's why I use Bro bug has the bulging eyes, and so do the mud bug and gill getter. But try different shapes of plastic, smelt minnow, anything, and don't over jig it. Fish ain't wearing tennis shoes. They don't want to chase around in the wintertime. Wintertime, they want to move slow and be able to catch stuff. So just keep that in mind. Light movements are going to catch fish. Watch your jigging motions in the hole, then drop it down. That'll really help.
You know, when it comes to jig fishing, you know, there's lots of different jigging presentations. You've got everything from a real aggressive, like a jigging spoons, to fishing more subtle. What determines how to tell you what you're going to use on a given day?
Well, I like to use a lighter jig if I can get away with it, because they'll pick it up and they'll hold it. But there's also times when you could use a heavy jig. If you're on a hot, fast, and furious bite, you want to get down there quick. But, you know, swimming the bait, you want it to look natural. You don't want it to look unnatural. So just remember, key in on that. In clear bodies of water, the fish are very wary. And in darker waters, a lot of times they'll attack by sound. So aggressive jigging, when the fish are hot, they're going to come in and eat it. So drop it down and jig the heck out of it. If the fish are a neutral biter, or there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of movement, there's a crowd on a lake, then the subtle jigging motions, and try to create a natural bait swimming style. Something that it looks like a fleeing or darting insect or a feeding insect is natural. The fish are going to approach it. Save the aggressive jigging techniques for a low pressure system. But if you got a stalled high pressure system over you and you start jigging real hard, that's a good way to push the fish over to your friends. And I like to bring my fish over to me. If you ever go fishing with your buddy and he catches one more than you, you know how it is. So changing your jigging technique to match the weather, and then also feeding. And then, of course, sizing the jig to the right size for accomplishing your goal. If you want to get a mess of fish, or if you just want to go for big ones, larger bulky jigs catch bigger fish, especially in darker water. Contrasting colors with stripes or dots or any different things are a big deal. And then glow is awesome. Use a whole complement of this stuff. And then remember, UV, ultraviolet, a little bit of coating on a jig works really well. And if you look in the departments at, like, you know, the new Buckshots and stuff, they got UV. They're almost sold out everywhere you go. UV is hot. It wins tournaments in the summer, and it also works in winter. If you're hunting in the woods, you don't want UV on your clothes because you stick out like a sore thumb to the deer. But when you're fishing in the water, you want UV on it. So that's the whole thing. Everything's changing. We don't want it. We want it. We want it. We don't want it. You know how it is.
You bet. Well, it's fun talking to you again, bro. And, by golly, one of these days we're going to have to get together and go fishing.
Absolutely. Come on up and we'll go fishing. And the best time to go is whenever you can. So if you get a day off, it's raining, let's go. If it's windy, let's go. If it's really hot, we'll wait till the sun goes down.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, it was interesting what he had to say. I know you got a couple things here to talk about you want to.
You remember years ago, John, the DNR would always laugh when somebody would say, I saw a cougar. I know it was a cougar. And they'd always laugh at you.
They'd tell us there were no such thing.
Well, there's a cougar right now in Douglas County, and it's pretty obvious. There's a trail camera that's got the cougar right in front of it, and it is a cougar.
Well, I know one of the guides out here, his son got one out by Moose Lake a few years ago. I saw the picture. It was definitely a cougar on the trail camera.
John, come to think of it, many years ago, wasn't there a guy out there at Moose Lake that had a tame cougar?
Oh, he had three of them. That was my neighbor. Yeah, he had three of them. I used to listen to them cats yowling all the time. That was interesting.
You know, something that's happening on a statewide basis that I'm not really very much in favor of is the fact that the state Congress, that's the House and the Senate, have been doing things, passing laws that relate to DNR and our natural resources without going through the Conservation Congress. That's not good. I don't like it. And we've got some legislators that just insist on getting their way. It's not fair.
It doesn't go through the Conservation Congress or the Natural Resources Board, anything? Just kind of goes around them?
Just kind of goes around them, put them into a budget, take something and put it into a budget, and then it's hidden in there. And it's, you know, the governor isn't going to not sign a budget bill just because a thing is in it.
It's like that, what you call pork. They'd add it in there
that's
to get
right.
what they want.
That's right.
That's typical. Sounds like typical politics. Anyway, I don't want to come think I'm going to talk about, you know, Brian Brosdahl, or Bro Brosdahl, he talked about panfish selection, but a couple other things. If you're going to go out there after panfish, and it's a blast of wintertime, you know, you want to use your electronics. I mean, your electronics are going to be key to watch your bait, watch the fish, see how they respond. We've talked about that lots of times on the show. But your line, I mean, you got friends that fish line. I've heard of guys going down as fine as monofilament sewing thread.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's amazing.
Sometimes that makes a big difference, just the line visibility.
A lot of people don't believe in that, John, but that's unfortunate because all you have to do is try it. And if you haven't tried it, try it. And you're going to find yourself being a lot more successful.
And the other thing, too, is these fish can bite awful light. I mean, I see it in the summertime guiding a lot, especially crappies and bluegills. And in the wintertime, if you're getting to miss a lot of fish, just going to something like a spring bobber on the end of your pole tip can kind of really help you detect those really light biters. They don't always swim away with it. Sometimes they come up on it.
Technically, a small fish like that doesn't bite. It opens its mouth and sucks in the bait.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of all fish do that to some degree if it's not a big bait. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, even muskies, if it's a small bait, they'll inhale it. I've watched them do it when I used to feed them at the resort. I'd feed these little muskies dead minnows, and they just suck it in. I mean, just pop it and suck it in. But I think if it's big like a sucker or something, then they grab it and they crush it. Well, Art, you know, we're out of time for this week's show. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can get that show on our website at wnoradio.net. That link you to the podcast. The show does air at 7:30 on Saturday mornings and at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings on FM 101 here. But, if you miss it, you can get it on the Internet, too.
That's right. And if you're going to go out sometime, don't go alone. Take somebody who's never done it. Just try it once or twice.
Well, Art, we're out of time for this week, and we're going to be back again next week with another interesting show.
Me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.